Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this week and hear about what's going on in the rail sector. Now, we actually have a lot to talk about down there this week when you think about all the things that are going on. We had the effects of Tropical Storm Hillary in this week's numbers, in next week's numbers. You're going to have the effects of the hurricane that went through Florida and the southeast. We're going to see a lot of noise in the numbers. Next week, of course, is the Labor Day holiday week. You had the Norfolk Southern system outage earlier this week on Monday that put a cramp on volumes. And according to NS, they say it's going to take a couple of weeks to unwind that for customers to be able to get their system back to normal. The UP says it'll be about another week to 10 days before they're fully back up and running in Southern California, out in the deserts, out near West Palm Springs. And so you have an awful lot of challenges out there and a lot of noise in the numbers that is going to have to be worked through in the weeks ahead that are going to make conclusions from these numbers a little bit harder to come to than they typically are. So let's jump in and let's talk about what we know and what we can say from the numbers definitively. Well, intermodal, it was basically a status quo report, not a whole lot of movement, just a little bit above 325,000 carloads a week, nearly steady, a little bit of a trend line decline since the July 4th holiday ended, but not really much material to speak of. Down about 10% on a year-over-year basis. And if you look at the UP, particularly what is the impact of the outage, this steady result for the industry as a whole comes despite a significant decline in the UP specific number, as you would expect, given what they're dealing with out in Southern California, out near West Palm Springs. Trailer volumes, fairly flat. A little bit of an upward shift since the immediate decline after the Yellow bankruptcy, but still nothing material to move the needle. Nothing that says we're going to turn around and we're going to get right back to that 15,000 trailer a week number anytime here in the near future. It continues to be a slow, almost crawling movement back north. We'll have to keep an eye on that and see just how quickly we can get to back to that 15,000 trailer a week level, if ever, given the Yellow situation. We'll just have to see how that plays out. I would not be particularly optimistic if I were you, if I were someone that is tied to the trailer intermodal market. I would not be particularly positive about that possibility, though it is there a little bit in the numbers. Containers, fairly flat, down a little bit in the last week, but still holding in fairly steady over time. There's a little bit of decline, really close to flat when you look at it on a broader basis on container markets. Not going up, not going down. Again, glass half full, glass half empty when you look at where things are headed. We're not falling off a cliff, yes, But we're also not seeing any kind of seasonal uptick that you would expect to see at this time of year. Remember, we're heading into the height of peak season. We would expect this number to be going up, and it's simply not moving that direction at all in any way, shape, or form. There just simply isn't any indication at all of that happening. Switching gears to the carload side of the business, carload took a step back in the last week. You had a step down in grain. You had a step down in non-metallic minerals. Though non-metallic minerals, we'll talk about in a minute. We talked about it last week. That's really the function of a reversal from the prior week in one carrier's numbers. We'll get into that as we go through. Overall, carload, down pretty significantly on a sequential basis. You look at that in isolation, and it looks significant. It looks big. It looks, you know, it looks down 3% on a year-over-year basis. We haven't been there really since the start of the second quarter, down below last year, down below the five-year average to that number. We haven't seen this kind of result in a while, but as we pull back the onion, what you'll see is that there are certainly some very specific issues around what that looks like. Economically sensitive freight basically did the same thing as overall carload, down fairly significantly below the five-year average, but not as dramatically below last year, about 0.5% or so below last year's number. So yes, it steps down, but not nearly as large a decline as what we saw in overall carload. Now, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, what we're really talking about are those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. We're talking about things like lumber, things like metals, things like automotive. There's no coal in this number. There's no agriculture in this number. There's no petroleum in this number. Sometimes you'll hear this number called core carload freight. That's really what we're measuring here to give us a sense of how the underlying economy is doing. And yes, we see a step down, but as with overall carload, there are a particular driver or drivers of that are explainable. So we're not as concerned about that decline as maybe we might be in other contexts or in other situations. But you can't talk about carload and not talk about coal. Coal is still the largest carload sector by volume. You look at it here, down a little bit sequentially in the latest week, really fairly flat. What is notable about this number, though, and I've been talking about it for weeks, I've been talking about it for quarters, you don't see the increase in the third quarter that you typically would expect to see this time of year. You would normally expect to see a significant jump up in the coal volumes. We're in the heat of the summer. A lot of coal fire generating territory, Texas particularly, I'm looking at you, has had a very hot summer. You would expect to see this coal number move higher. It has not. It has moved down a little bit on a sequential basis. We're below last year. We're below the five-year average. We're not seeing typical seasonal behavior. Now, if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you know that that's not an entirely unexpected outcome. When you look at natural gas prices between $2.50 and $3 per MMBTU, when you look at export coal prices, seaborne coal prices having come down dramatically from where they were a year ago, we shouldn't be too surprised about this number's activity and where this number is. We expect it to get worse from here. We expect it to continue trending lower over time, but we'll have to wait and see. Coal has surprised me all year, so it wouldn't take a whole lot for it to surprise me again. But I think the economic factors at some point win out. At some point, economics have to rule the day. And we'll have to see what that form that takes for the coal markets. But it is, you know, it is starting to show up, hopefully, this week in the coal markets. The other major bulk business, the grain markets, we are down significantly again here so on a sequential basis. And this is a significant decline. And this is one of those things in the carload space that is driving that carload, overall carload number down. when you look at grain taking yet another step weaker at a time when it should be fairly flat, when it should be maintaining itself for the next several weeks until we get to the harvest. Well, now we're trending the wrong direction as we head into harvest. We'll need to see what happens here in terms of how soon we get the harvest bump. You have wildfires on the Canadian prairies. You have a very hot summer in a lot of places across the growing regions. We'll have to see just what the harvest looks like. At the moment, I got asked the other day, what are my expectations relative to the harvest? I expect to see it behave normally. I think we get a normal harvest. I don't think this is the intermodal story. I don't think this is a sector where you don't get a bump. I believe you do, in fact, get a bump here as we go through the next month or so. The question is just, what is the magnitude of that bump? Do we follow last year, where we get up above 40,000 carloads a week, or do we follow the five-year average more closely and we stay in that 37, 38,000 carload range? That is really the question in my mind. It's not a question of do we get it. It's a question of what is the magnitude of the bump that we do get, but we're still probably 4, 5, 6 weeks away from seeing that reflected in the numbers. But back to the economically sensitive freight categories, we look at chemicals, basically flat sequentially, down a little bit, but ultimately pretty flat. But flat above 45,000 carloads a week, above the five-year average, above last year. A lot to like in there. A lot that says, you know, that it says, okay, it's pretty, you know, pretty stable, which is where chemicals has been most of the year. Pretty stable. Now, the year-over-year comparisons get easier in the second half of 2023. So, and you've seen that already in the numbers in terms of switching to year-over-year gains in the chemical space when we were down most of the first half of the year. But that doesn't necessarily mean that things are just hunky-dory in the chemical sector. Remember back a little bit further back in history, chemicals over the last 5, 6, 7 years, it was a pretty significant growth driver for the carload markets. Now it's not that. Now we're just, we're eking out basically a percent or two after a long struggle, about a year-long struggle for volumes in this sector. And so we have to keep our eye on it, keep our eyes sharp here to see what happens to chemicals as we get to the end of 24, early 25. We have new production facilities coming online that could help this number, that could help support volumes. But at least at the moment, there's not a lot of near-term catalyst for growth in this number. So we'll have to watch it and see what it does and how that translates for the overall economy. Petroleum products up a little bit sequentially. I wouldn't get too lost in the week-to-week movements here. If you look over a wider horizon over the last, oh, call it 6 weeks, and you average those figures, they're really pretty steady, just above 20,000 carloads a week. Not a lot of movement there. And that 20,000 number, you exclude holidays, and that's pretty much where we've run for the last 2 quarters, plus or minus 20,000 a week. So not a whole lot to say there about petroleum products. Pretty much just keeping on there. Stone, sand, and gravel. This is a sector, if you listen to the podcast all the time, you know that we believe there's legs to this. We see a little bit of sequential decline the last couple of weeks, but again, we're not too concerned about that. We're basically right in line with last year. We're following the five-year average. You get a little bit of seasonal degradation in this group into the fourth quarter because construction weather starts to go away, particularly across the northern part of the country. Places like Montana, North Dakota, Minnesota, it gets harder and harder to start new projects. And so there's a natural seasonal headwind here. We're not overly concerned about the durability of this sector to hold these levels, to perform seasonally, if not better. We expect to see stone, sand, and gravel continue to be the driver of volume growth that it has been really over the last year. Lumber and wood were dead flat sequentially, and were dead flat at a low level. We're not seeing any sort of real good, durable growth here. We continue to be well off last year, well off the five-year average. And no surprise, again, you look at the overall economy, you look at where mortgage rates are, you look at the housing market, it shouldn't surprise anybody that lumber is struggling. This should not be a revelation to anyone who's looked at the economic figures, looked at the car loading figures. You should see a pretty direct connection there. And so that is really where we expect lumber to be until we get all the way through and see some improvement in housing. Pulp and paper, the other big dog in the forest products sector, up sequentially, up a lot sequentially, significantly. But we've seen this before. We've seen this movie before. We've seen these peaks before. They've generally lasted a week or two and then come right back down. And that is essentially what we expect to see happen here, unless and until proven otherwise. When you think about pulp and paper, it's been on the struggle bus for over a year now. We're well off last year. We're well off the five-year average. We don't see anything that changes that story. We don't see anybody coming out and stocking up on cardboard boxes, shipping materials ahead of the holiday shopping season. If you listen to the retail earnings, they've been pretty weak, pretty dour. And so that is a bad sign, or a weak sign at least, for pulp and paper, and suggest that we're going to continue to operate at these weak levels and not get back to last year, not get back to the five-year average over the weeks and months ahead. We look at automotive, we finish on a good note, and we look at it and say, okay, we're down a little bit sequentially. We continue to be above the five-year average. We continue to be 10% above last year. There continues to be strong demand here, and so we shouldn't be too awfully surprised that automotive continues to produce, continues to hit that 25,000 carload a week level. Now, we're going to have to watch that closely. We're going to have to, particularly as we get into the midpoint of September, we're going to have to watch very closely what that means, because we're headed for a potential UAW strike. And that could, pardon the pun, that could derail motor vehicle shipments pretty quickly, because you're not going to have the production to feed the flow of finished vehicles to automotive unloading centers, to dealers. And so keep an eye on motor vehicles. There is some downside risk over the next month, but the overall fundamentals of the story are intact. The overall fundamentals remain one where volumes remain strong, as even if sales falter, you're going to continue to need to rebuild that inventory. You're going to continue to need to rebuild that business over time. And so we will keep an eye on that as we go forward. I mentioned mid-September, eyes on the UAW strike. You should also, in mid-September, have your eyes on the FTR Transportation Conference. I was remiss this week in not putting it up front, but I'll get it in right here, right now. Remember to come to the FTR Transportation Conference, September 11th to the 14th. Four great days of transportation-related content, and you will want to be a part of it. Your colleagues are going to be in the room. Your competitors are going to be in the room. There's going to be a lot of intelligence exchanged, a lot of networking connections made. You'll hear not just from the FTR perspective on these things. You'll also hear from thought leaders in your industry and other industries about what their expectations are for transportation going forward. And, of course, we'll be all on top of any news from the UAW during the conference period. So it really is the best place to be, to stay on top of continuing developments as we track this story and all the stories that affect rail transportation in the year ahead. All your information you need there is www.ftrconference.com. It'll get you everywhere you need to go. To wrap up this week, though, intermodal really just continues to hold flat, continues to just have no expectation of a peak season, no no real life at all, just continuing to stay where it is. And carload volumes, they went down. They went down significantly, but a lot of that weakness was the result of grain volumes weakening and non-metallic minerals volumes reversing. If you remember from last week, we talked about one particular carrier having a strong surge in non-metallic minerals traffic and that moving the number. Well, it reversed in the latest week. And so when it reverses, now all of a sudden carload has to absorb that decline, has to absorb that effect. And that's a lot of what we're seeing, not just in overall carload, but in economically sensitive freight as well in the latest week. And so not surprising that we saw declines given that strong reversal. In an overall slow freight environment, there just isn't the organic growth elsewhere. There wasn't the organic growth elsewhere to offset that loss in non-metallic minerals, even though it is probably a one-week reversal and we steady the ship from here. We continue to have to deal with those week-to-week effects in the resultant numbers that we're talking through right now. So with that, I want to thank everybody for listening this week. Hope everybody has a great Labor Day weekend. Gets out, gets some time away from the office, some time with family, some time to cook out, some time to watch some baseball, watch some college football. Hard to believe it's already college football season out there. Go Owls. And with that, hopefully you all have a great week, a great weekend, and hopefully we'll see everybody in Indianapolis in just over 10 days' time. It is not too late to be a part of the greatest transportation forecasting event of the year. And with that, as always, I am Todd Tranowski, your Vice President of Rail Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.